Thanks, Marilyn. I'll tell a story. It is great to be here. So I'll tell two stories about kindness at work. The first one is about kindness at work. The second one is about not kindness at work. And then we'll go from there into a key principle of life that a mentor taught me years ago that I still use and teach. And it's a real sort of pocket principle. You can keep it in your pocket and use it anytime you like to increase your, how do I say, like you're increasing your kindness, right? But you're increasing your quality of life is really what you get. So the story is, I am now 32. What do I do? Who am I? I do what's called peak states therapy. I help people through trauma, ultimately, usually helping people bust through limiting beliefs around money, entrepreneurship, stuff like that. I do Tao. I teach Tao, right? A little bit of spiritual kind of teaching. I'm a musician. I have a beautiful partner. We live in Victoria, British Columbia. So that's my current situation. If you go back though, 6, 7 years, I worked more of a regular job as a young guy. I did junk removal. So if you've ever had a bunch of junk in your house or in the yard under the tarp that you didn't want to look at, didn't want to get rid of, I was the guy you called to come get rid of it for you. And you paid the company. And so I did this job for 3 years and I was their top salesperson. I was the guy who was the best at everything there and I got paid the most. And so just 20 minutes before this conference, I thought, oh, I should tell a story. Which one? I thought of this junk removal job story because kindness got me everything there. It was kindness that got me the most amount of money. It was kindness that got me the most amount of respect in the workplace, new friends, kindness that gave me my own morale when times were hard, working 10, 12 hours a day in the rain was not fun. It's not fun pulling junk out of other people's basements, especially the little crawl spaces. It's not enjoyable. So I had to be very kind to myself to get myself through this job for a few years. Now, that's basically the story is when I brought kindness to my workplace, there was about 7, 8 other employees and a manager than the owners. You know, I came out on top, you could say, you know, not necessarily competitively, but there was this sparkle in my eye that everyone else said, what is it about Matt? You know, let's give him a raise. Let's give him whatever he needs, vacation time that he doesn't actually get. And I was not manipulative. I was not, I did not coerce people. I'm not even that. I'm not a special guy. I'm a person who understands the human heart. And that when you treat yourself, very important starting point, you learn to treat yourself and then others with kindness. You can almost get anything you want. And it works really well in the workplace, which I know this conference is about. So that's my first story. Second element to the story. Because I know people watching this are like, why would I bother being kind at work? There's other things I can do. I could be driven, I could be competitive, I could be successful. Why be kind? So that's why I'm sharing this story, is that it actually works really well. We're going to flip the tables now. Imagine you're the people who own this business. You have me as an employee. I run the trucks. I'm sort of the supervisor, foreman person. And I decide that I'm going to go travel for 5 months. And you, as the owners of the business, think, oh no, we're going to lose our top guy. That guy with the shiny smile, with the kindness in his heart, who's good at the job. We can't lose that guy. What do we do? And you, as the owner, which is what they did for me years ago, they decided to also give an act of kindness. And they bought me this cute book called 100 Places to Hike in British Columbia. And then they bought me a hammock, a really nice hammock. And the reason they gave me these gifts was a way of saying, please come back. Out here in British Columbia, we have great hiking and great spots for hammocks. Don't go anywhere else. Please, when you travel, come back and work for us. And I thought it was so kind. And you know what? It worked. 5 months later, I was back in Victoria. Who did I call for my job? Them. Because they were kind. They gave me this hammock and this book. It actually worked. So for the people listening, whether you're a CEO, employee, entrepreneur, your parent, or whatever, kindness has a power that is like gravity. You know, it actually pulls things together. It's really beautiful. Those are my two, my first story about the success of kindness. How does it really does work. And I'm going to now tell a quick story about the lack of success of kindness. And I'll use myself as an example. Let's just put it this way. When COVID-19 sort of started now a year and a half ago, everyone panicked a little, you know, and my personal business life also flipped upside down and I had to pivot, right? So I decided to build a studio in my house with a couple computers and learn how to be successful online, right? As Marilyn, you are doing here with this kind of conference. And my partner at the time, okay, who I've been living with for a couple of years, she said, Matt, maybe I can help. And we got into this work relationship, even though we're romantic partners, right? And we started working together. The first couple of weeks were good, but then it just slid downhill. And for the next 6 months, even though we did end up succeeding with some of the online business stuff, it was not enjoyable. And it almost ruined our beautiful relationship. And 6 months of total hell became, we stopped the working relationship after 6 months. And then it was still six more months of like post hell, trying to rekindle this lost love. And then we eventually did succeed. And now we have a beautiful partnership and successful online business. But I do not suggest people go through it like we did. And the element that was missing that I had to own, and it was hard, especially being a male, like a guy, you know, with the emotions and compassion and that stuff, I was taught to sort of stay away from that stuff a little. I was very unkind. When we were working together, I had expectations that I did not even express. And when she didn't meet them, I got angry. And when her creativity didn't go how I wanted it to go, I got upset. And when I got triggered in my own trauma or my own stuff of like, it's not working, or I was sort of sabotaging myself, any of that, I took it out on her. It was unkind. It's only verbal, but it doesn't matter. Verbal unkindness is unkindness. And when we look back at our summer of hell, it was only because I lacked the seed of kindness in our working relationship. And if we had someone like Marilyn teaching kindness to us during this process, for example, we would be much better off. But we have to learn from our lessons. So that's my second story I wanted to share with this group, is when you don't have kindness in the workplace, even if, you know, you get somewhere with making some money or something, which definitely doesn't always happen because kindness makes rocky ground anyways, but hell is not worth it. It's not worth any amount of money. Those are my two stories. Now, with those two stories out there, creating the pain and pleasure feelings of kindness in the workplace, I'm going to screen share here and offer a gift, a principle, like I mentioned, that a mentor taught me. It's called the three ways of giving. The three ways of giving can give you a filter to understand your own kindness and generosity, especially for the people who are analytical people, logical, which a lot of people in business and work have that mind purposely turned on. You can use this principle to help you feel good about yourself and the kindness you are offering, because sometimes we overlook our kindness, right? We are hard on ourselves. We actually don't take time to reflect on how great we are and how kind we've been. And that's a negative perpetual cycle too, of lack of self-kindness. So using this principle, you can feel great about yourself, and who doesn't want that? So I'm going to share that here and offer some discourse on it. There we go. So the three ways of giving. Marilyn, can you see that? Just a thumbs up. Yeah, I think so. Okay. So material, dharma, fearlessness. If you're watching this, you can screenshot this, right? Make it your desktop background for a few weeks. So the first way of giving, material. We all know what it's like to offer someone some money if they need it. Maybe you're investing in a friend's business, or your kids want to go to college, or there's somebody asking for $20 so they can buy a sandwich, or there's all these ways we can offer or give money, right? Which is kindness, right? Generosity. Okay, you can offer your time. How many times have you been given someone else's time, and how good does that feel, right? Whether at home or at the workplace, when someone really gives you their time and attention, it can change your life. Same for when you give it to others. So if you're watching this conference and you're thinking, well, how the heck am I supposed to be kind? What does that even mean? Well, just by offering your time or your money, or as you can see, other resources to other people when they need it, you are being kind. You're earning kindness karma, you could say, just like that. Now, everyone likes a good twist in a story. So here's the twist of this story. When you give these material items, for it to truly be a deep karmic kindness that will repay you tenfold, even though you don't know how, to access that level of leverage in the kindness or karmic dimension, you must be able to give these material items away with no attachment or expectation of getting anything in return. Nor should or could you feel regret or remorse afterwards. I'm not saying to anyone that this is an easy task. I'm just going to check the chat. Kindness, karma, beauty, yeah. So this is not necessarily an easy task. Kindness in the workplace is not necessarily an easy task. We have to have conferences just to get the word out. But if you choose to practice giving of the material world, time, money, resources, to help others and not expect anything in return, and do it without feelings of like buyer's remorse or regret afterwards, you will be entering a stage of your own self-mastery, which is irreplaceable. Some would say the purpose of life itself anyways. And your level of return on that investment, so to speak, will be tenfold or more if you know any of the old adages, alchemical sort of wisdom adages. But you don't know how it's coming back to you. So you need faith, which is a different element, different principle, but you need faith in the adage. Otherwise, you won't believe it and you'll expect something in return. So I'll let the audience sit with that. That's number one way of giving. Let's hop over to way number two. So the second method of kindness or giving that you can do in the workplace or at home is what is known as dharma, which can be translated into teaching, okay? Wisdom, knowledge. In the text here, it says scriptures or holy books. We're talking about knowledge or wisdom that serves the soul, that serves someone at a deep level. And that's pretty simple, right? For example, if you're watching this recording, you're receiving some dharma from me. I'm technically offering kindness and it's being received by you. You could take this recording and send it to 10 of your friends and they could watch this recording and they would be receiving dharma from you. Kindness all around. Everyone's winning. The world becomes a better place because that vibration of love and that action of sharing love becomes part of your moment, part of your reality, getting the wheel spinning around kindness. And you can do this in the workplace. For example, in the boardroom, there's 10 people. You're discussing some project. And you notice as you're paying attention, which wise, kind people do pay attention, you notice that some people maybe either are suffering with something, or they don't agree with the project, or they weren't heard, maybe they got shut down. There's all these things that happen in the business world where that go unnoticed. If you can notice it, and then maybe take your time, right? Number one, time, and go to those people and just communicate and maybe share a little wisdom about the situation or how they could feel better or whatever, then you're actually taking your time to share with them Dharma or some teachings or wisdom to make their life better, right? That's an outstanding act. You know, if anyone here wants to be successful in work and business, if you've read Think and Grow Rich, anything by Napoleon Hill, The Secrets of Growing Rich by Wallace D. Wattles, any of these books declare that you must be willing to go the extra mile in life. You must be one of those people. And if you're willing to pay attention in your workplace to where is kindness not happening for someone at some moment, and you get off your chair and you go deliver some of these ways of giving your time or a teaching to help them, you're going above and beyond. You're following the principle of success and riches success. Let's call it that. So that's why this is a great principle for anyone to actually study and really put into their belief system and use in the workplace. Is the secret of success is to go the extra mile in life and to bring the service to people. And that's what this principle can give you. So that's number two, pretty straightforward, right? Bring some knowledge, help somebody. Third way of giving, or third avenue to kindness, known as fearlessness. If you were to, of course, imagine flip fearlessness upside down, what would you get? Technically, love, right? To have fearlessness is to be full of love or courage. And this is the third way of giving. And as you see in the document, it says giving love or warmth, listening to others, having compassion. Now, as I learned from my own mentors, the third way of giving is the highest quality way of giving. Okay, this is beyond knowledge, beyond money. This is a true essence, human being, human soul method of kindness, which is really probably what this conference is really all about. How do we bring compassion and warmth and listening into life and into the workplace? And that's a question for you to ask yourself. Do I do that? Do I actively, keyword is actively bring in warmth, love, compassion, and listening into the workplace? If you do, amen. Right on. Send this video to 10 people who may not be doing it as well as you do. We all know what this is. I don't have to give many examples, right? We all know that feeling of when you're having a real crap day and someone comes over to your desk or over to you or calls you up on the phone and says, "Hey, Bill, I can tell you're having a crap day. You know what? Let's go have lunch. You can just tell me all about it." And you're like, "Oh, wow." You go out for lunch and you just talk and share, and Bill listens and taps you on the shoulder and says, "It's all good." And you come out of that meeting, that lunch, like you're a superhero. You felt better than you did before the crappy thing happened. Right? And those are the superheroes of the workplace. And you, if you do this, are a superhero of the workplace. And if you feel excited about becoming more of a superhero at the workplace, I really invite you to decide right now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring these three ways of giving into my workplace. I don't even know how that might look yet. I'm going to do it. I'm going to write them down, put them in my pocket, go to work. And if you work at home, stick them on your monitor for the piece of tape and a sticky pad. And I dare you to actively bring these consciously into your life. And with all those being said, now that we've covered them all, I'm going to say one last bit about each one. And this is where I love to live in terms of the conversation with people. So, yeah, some folks call it the spiritual stuff, or, you know, some people just call it the deep stuff, but it doesn't matter what you call it. We all resonate with it when we hear it. So in some of the ancient Eastern traditions, and I'm sure the Western philosophers could agree, that there's this old saying, which is there's three toxins, or there's three poisons in the human life. And they are greed, hatred, and ignorance. Greed, hatred, and ignorance. Some cultures say them a little differently. Some would say lust, not ignorance. It's kind of the same. It's like forgetting about the spiritual nature of things, that we are all connected and that love is all there is. Call it ignorance, call it lust, whatever you like. We're going to go with greed, hatred, and ignorance for this class. The three poisons of the human mind, of the human life. If one lets these things run their life, suffering is inevitable for yourself and the people that you are around. Inevitable suffering. So how would you like to counteract inevitable suffering in your life? Yes, please. Let's do it. Well, you already just did it in the last 20 minutes. I'm going to help you apply it. Now, I know you can read it on the screen. So if you're ahead of the game, right on. But as you can see, in the first way of giving, it says underneath material, it says cancels greed. Why does that cancel greed? I'm sure you already can think in your own mind why it cancels greed. Because when you take your time and your money and your resources, which are the precious building blocks of your three-dimensional human life, very valuable things, and when you give those away selflessly with not expecting anything in return and no regret, how could you be a greedy person? It's impossible, because greed is the opposite. I must keep it all for myself. I'm scared of losing it, or something like that. If you just give with no expectation of return these precious things, you cannot have greed on the commander chair of your being. It's impossible. So that's why it cancels greed when you choose to act in this way of kindness, this way of giving. Second, Dharma says it cancels ignorance. Why? Because you cannot teach people wise things unless you first learn them. It's impossible. Unless you give people books to read that you haven't read, which is not bad, but you should probably read the book that you're suggesting to give to others. Okay? That's why it cancels ignorance, the second way of giving. Because you cannot share wisdom without first learning it. If you learn wisdom, you are wise, the opposite of ignorance, therefore less suffering. I always chuckle at these because they're so simple and lovely and obvious once you really capture them like this. The third one, fearlessness, it says cancels hatred, right? If you choose actively to be a person who says yes to compassion, yes to warmth, yes to kindness, yes to listening to others, yes to love, if you choose to be that person, how could you have hatred inside you? It's impossible. And if you keep practicing these three, you let it be part of who you are for weeks and then months and then years and then decades, the greed, hatred, and ignorance has no choice but to be weeded out. It will be suffocated out by the giving of these three types of kindness instead. Like a garden, your mind and life is like a garden. And if you don't do anything with it, weeds will grow all over. Greed, hatred, ignorance. But if you do the work to pull those three out and suffocate them with a garden full of kindness, they cannot grow through. And just to bring it all full circle, and this will probably be the end of my talk here. We can open it up, Marilyn, afterwards to bring it all full circle. Greed, hatred, and ignorance, the three poisons of the mind of the human life that cause suffering. If you could eliminate them in your life and therefore from the people around you, wouldn't you want to? And who knew there is a simple tool called The Three Ways of Giving that you can choose to study and put on a sticky note on your computer monitor and actively practice, which automatically eliminate those three toxins from your mind. Very little effort required compared to decades of therapy or whatever else. So that's the end of my talk. It's been really fun to share a couple stories about my junk removal days where I used kindness to get everything great and help everyone have a good work environment. Then my bosses used kindness to get me back into their work environment. Right? So it works both ways. And then where I had lack of kindness with my partner, we had a 12 months of hell, not recommended. If we had kindness in there, little droplets of kindness, we would have had a year extra in our relationship where we didn't hate each other. And the three ways of giving are a beautiful, fun, analytical way to be aware of your kindness so that you can be kind to yourself and acknowledge your greatness. Because if you're not kind to yourself, it's tough to do it to others. It does start with you. And with that being said, it was a pleasure to speak to the listening and recorded audience. Marilyn, thanks for having me.